birth out of testimony. Amen. Now I'm strong. How that goes? Oh, you like me sing one? I don't know. What do you mean, no, not me? Think about it. Now I'm strong, I'm humble, because I've got new hope. Hey, give them another hand, Shiloh and the brothers. Wow. Now, I was like, hey, you know my CD? How come you? Come join our church over here from Kauai, and then we go here. No. Hey, we can take them home, get the DVD, CD. I know I'm going to get one of each and plug them in my car. The message is really good, too. Their pastor, Matt Higa, my brother, Pastor Elwin's invited him here. He's been here several years ago. And what I like about him is he's Uchinanchu. Some of you not laughing because that means Okinawan. Okinawan, Uchinanchu, Andagi, you know what I mean? Yeah. And the awesome thing is he's more hairy than I am. It's awesome. Yeah, I never said. And we not from gorillas, we from God. All right. Hey, Pastor Matt's just a neat, neat pastor. He's going to bring a word that I know. Open your heart for the word of the Lord for you. Open your heart for the word of the Lord for you. Would you welcome Pastor Matt Higa, my Uchinanchu brother? Higa! Higa! Higa!
Oh, Pastor Rod. You know, Pastor Rod and I, we cannot worship together with our hands in the air next to each other. One by the hair all tangled, we got to rip them apart. Just like Velcro. Well, welcome everybody. Thank you for having us Kauaians in the house. It's an honor and a privilege. And I hope you got blessed by that original song, New Hope. That was Butter DeFreeze, Freddie Aki, and Shiloh Pa. So thank you for allowing us. How many of you here have never been to Kauai? Never been to Kauai? Wow. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. No, please come and visit us, and we'll make you feel like Ohana and family and welcome you with open arms. You know, I've been on Kauai for 7 years now, but I grew up in Kalihi, right in this area. So, you know, in New Hope, Oahu was my home church. Then we moved to New Hope, Sand Island. So 7 years we've been on Kauai. And you know what I miss most about not living here? One of the things I miss the most is not going to the University of Hawaii football games anymore. You know, I used to like to go for the tailgating and all of that great food, yeah? And I know a lot of you already know this, that the Aloha Stadium Authority has put a ban on doing the wave at the University of Hawaii football games this coming year. Because last year, one Porigiwan almost drowned. And that's the last time I take him passed away into one football game. I like to take Pastor Elwin, but I tired pay for everything. Ooh, I'm going to get it, yeah? They stay in the mainland, so they never can touch me. Oh, but I love those two guys dearly. And, you know, let me ask you this question. How many of you have ever been asked or given a request that was so inconceivable, unimaginable, almost ridiculous, and it bordered on the absurd? And that your only response was this: you want me to do what? How many of you can relate to that? Yeah, sometimes in life we'll come across situations like that. I know a story about a waitress, and someone asked this waitress, what is the most unusual request you had while working at that restaurant? And she said, well, one day a couple came in, they had a baby, they was having dinner. I went to their table, I said, is there anything else I can do for you? And the lady said, can you change my baby's diaper? We want to enjoy our dinner. And she was like, you want me to do what? I know another guy, he went up to an airline counter and he walked up to the customer service agent and he said, today I'm flying to Los Angeles, but I want my luggage to go to San Francisco, Seattle, Portland, San Diego, and Las Vegas. Customer service agent looked at him and says, you want me to do what? We can't do that. He said, well, you did it the last time I flew you. You know, a lot of times we're going to say, you want me to do what? And you know, men, I know you can understand this, especially you men who are newlyweds, okay? You're going to understand what I'm talking about. When the first time your wife asks you to go to the store and buy feminine hygiene products. You want me to do what? I remember my first time, okay? So I go to the store and, you know, you can't just buy that. As a man, you know? So I put it in the cart. I grab like 9 bags of potato chips. Cover them up. I put some steaks in there. Grab some can of chili. Yeah, this is a man's cart, you know? This is a man's cart. Then I scan all of the cashier checkouts and see if I can get through one. Oh, ready. This one's going to be fast. This is going to be right. Nobody's behind me. I don't see anybody that I know. So I go through the checkout, and then lo and behold, price check on all three. Price check on all three. Yes, it's the summer fresh. The summer fresh. The Pumario one, the pink one. And then the cashier goes like this. Sir, you know, you have the 24-pack. It's the 36-pack that's on sale. Do you want that one? I'm like, give me a break. But you know, sometimes in life, God is going to ask of us to do something that we might first go, well, that is just beyond my comprehension. So inconceivable. And then our first response is, you want me to do what? You know that Abraham could have responded that way, right? When the Lord asked him to sacrifice your only son. He said, what? You want me to do what? Well, how's about Noah? Noah, I want you to build a big boat in the middle of nowhere. Even though you're not even close to an ocean, just build it. It's like, you want me to do what? And you know, sometimes God could do that. He might be asking us here today, some of us, hey, go and bless that person at your workplace that you just can't stand. They turned you in, they talk behind your back, and they want to get the promotion that you want. Go ahead and bless them. And you'll be like, you want me to do what? Or maybe you're sitting in a restaurant, and then there's another couple that you know, and God goes, go over there and pay for their bill. Even though they owe you money, and they act like nothing happened. Hey, you want me to do what? You know, I mean, I remember God would ask all of these things of us, yeah? And sometimes you got to remember this. When God gives us an unusual request, many times it culminates with an unusual miracle. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. In our first story, go ahead and take out your notes and your bulletins. And we're going to be first talking about a man named Naaman. Naaman, a lot of us know who Naaman is, but Naaman is the chief commander of the Syrian army. He has a lot of power and authority, a lot of prestige, but he has come down with a sickness and a disease called leprosy. And then someone tells him, there is a man of God, his name is Elisha. Why don't you go and see him, and perhaps Elisha will call upon the Lord, and you will be healed of your leprosy. So Naaman goes, okay, I'm going to look for this man. I'm going to find him. And he goes and visits Elisha to get a healing now. And then this is what takes place as Naaman comes and finds Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. And he says this, when Naaman came now to Elisha's place, he says, but Elisha sent a messenger out to him with this message, go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. Then your skin will be restored, and you will be healed of your leprosy. But Naaman became angry and stalked away. I thought he would certainly come out to meet me, he said. I expected him to wave his hand over the leprosy and call on the name of the Lord his God and heal me. Okay? So Naaman was looking for an instant miracle. Okay? On top of that, he comes to visit Elisha, and Elisha doesn't come out personally. He sends a messenger. And then, this is the message. You got to go to the Jordan River, okay? Later on in the Bible, it says this. Naaman responds and goes, the Jordan River, why? From where I come from in Damascus, we have nicer, cleaner rivers. Why can't I go to one of those and get cleansed? It's almost like me saying this. You know the baptism you guys all going to have on this coming Friday? It's almost like I'm saying, okay, this baptism on Friday, we're not going to do it at Magic Island. We're going to do it in the Alawai Canal. You want me to do what? And then, we're not going to hold you down just one time. Not even two times. But seven times, because some of you need to be held down plenty for get cleansed. But Naaman, he was all upset because, you know why? Because we can be like this. We live in the instant gratification generation. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I call it the drive-through microwave generation. It's, we do that with God. We come, we pray over here, and we like a miracle over there. We use God like a push button. Lord, I like this. Where is it? And you know, we can catch ourselves doing that. But God is telling Naaman, and he'd be telling us, no, sometimes there's a process that you got to go through. Sometimes you got to complete that process. Because I'm the kind of guy that used to be like this. I want the quick fix. I want to take shortcuts. But sometimes when you take shortcuts, you cut short your miracles. You know, I like this guy. His name is Jeff Foxworthy. And he's from Blue Collar Comedy. And he was talking about, you know, we want to take a pill and get healed right away, whatever ailment we have, right? Just take something, a medication, and right away it's over. And but we don't read the fine prints on the medication that we take sometime. And there's some side effects, right? And he said that he had itchy, watery eyes. And he looked at these drops and said, for itchy, watery eyes, put these drops in your eyes. But it may cause headaches, dizziness, ringing in the ears, blurred vision, dry throat, sore throat, high blood pressure, liver disease and kidney disease, heart palpitations, irritable bowel syndrome, constipation, erectile dysfunction, grouchy coworkers, cutting pay, furlough Friday. You see, sometimes when we take shortcuts, they can be side effects. How many of you know what I'm talking about? But God wants us to go through a process. And sometimes we have to complete that process to get a complete healing. Come on, somebody. And that's what we can learn from Naaman. Now, in this next scripture, okay, this is Jesus and Peter. They're having a conversation, okay, and it's about paying the temple taxes. Interesting enough, it's written in the book of Matthew, the tax collector. He gonna make sure he records this, okay? And apparently it seems like this, that they don't have the money on them right now to pay the taxes, okay? So, this is what Jesus tells Peter, okay? In Matthew 17:27, he says this, however, we don't want to offend them, so go down to the lake and throw in a line. Open the mouth of the first fish you catch, and you will find a large silver coin. Take it and pay the tax for both of us. I'm very intrigued, you know, with this particular scripture here. I don't know why, but this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying this. Peter, go down to the lake, take a pole, put your line in there, and you're going to catch a fish with money in its mouth. On Kauai, you know what we say? No can think. Because I'd be like this. You want me to do what? Now, remember, Peter is a commercial fisherman, right? He's a commercial fisherman. That's what he does for his whole life. He lays the nets down, he catches fish, and makes a lot of money, okay? Now, Peter could be like this. Now, Jesus, you're my homeboy. But you're the carpenter. I'm the fisherman. I don't tell you how to pound nails. But I've been fishing all my life. I catch choke akuli. And not one time did I see money come out of its mouth. But that's what God is asking him to do. You know what it is? It's a personal journey for Peter, a test of faith and obedience. I mean, if the Lord said that to me, like, you know, go down to the lake, put your pole in the water. The first fish you catch, there's going to be money in its mouth. Now, can you imagine? Now, Peter had to do this. Peter had to go get a pole, right? He had to go tie the line. Then he had to tie the hook, right? Now, he got to go get bait. What kind of bait do you use to catch on fish with money in the mouth? I really would like to know, you know, especially in this down economy. But I got a theory here. You know what kind of bait you use? You use char siu. I'm going to tell you why. Any fish that get money in his mouth, gotta be pake. Because you know Chinese, they hide money all over the place. So I whack Pastor Owen in the back, money come out. But can you imagine now, this request? Go down to the lake, put your pole, and you're going to catch a fish with money. You want me to do what? I mean, you can't even, if it was me, and somebody goes, Matt, where are you going? No place. Because what do you say to somebody? Oh, what is that in your hand? Nothing. No, where are you going? I'll go in store, buy feminine hygiene products. Because nobody would believe you if you told them what you're supposed to do, right? And then, but Peter, he obeys. And one of the greatest miracles now, because coin, money. How many of you know that Jesus just could have reached behind Peter's ear and go, here? But he made sure that Peter had to do a journey, a personal one, a test of faith and obedience to see his miracle. Because when it comes to God, a lot of times, when God gives us an unusual request, it'll oftentimes culminate in an unusual miracle. And that's what we've seen right here in the Bible. You know, when I was still living on Oahu, I was on the road by Nu'uanu and Vineyard that cut off over there. And I was at the stoplight right in the front position, and there was a guy begging for money. You know, he has the sign, right? And I'm stopped right in the front, and he's right next to me. And as the holy Christian man that I am, I started fooling around with my radio so I didn't have to look him in the eye. I act like I'm the only one. You know, I'm organizing my counsel and all of that. And then, okay, in the side eye, I see green. Okay, go. So I go. Then I feel like the Lord goes like, Matt, I want you to bless that man. And I was like, you want me to do what? I want you to bless that man. So I make a U-turn, okay? And I got to go back all the way around past the Polly Longs and the Safeway, come all the way back, and lo and behold, I end up at the same spot right next to him. I go, this must be God. So, you know, just so happened, McDonald's had a contest at that time, and I had one of those scratch-off winning tickets, and it was a free extra value meal. The free, you know, quarter pounder with cheese, large fries, and a large Coke sticking out. And I was saving it for a rainy day, and I go, okay, I'm going to give this to the guy. So I rolled on my window, and I go, hey, brother, this is for you. So he grabbed him, he looks at it, he goes like this. You know how much cholesterol and sodium get in this? God's honest truth. And then he gives it back to me. And I was like this, driving a Lord. Lord, what you told me to do that for? What a shame. What an embarrassing. I wonder if that was God. And as I was driving away, the Lord just put it on my heart. He goes, Matt, it doesn't matter how he responded. I just wanted to see if you was going to obey. Because if I can trust you in the small things, one day I'll trust you in the great things. And you know, I remember one time my wife and I was having an argument. It was early in our marriage, early in our relationship together. And we was having, you know, I mean, married couples argue, but we was having the one, you know. We was having one big blowout, almost the mother of all kind. The kind of argument that could make or break a relationship. We were touching nerves that shouldn't be touched. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Okay? And I was right. Like 99% of the time we argue, I was right. Just kidding, it's the opposite, okay? But I remember because I was right, oh, I was just piling it on, you know what I mean? And I was going for the jugular, and then the Lord went like this, Matt, you will go and apologize to your wife. And I was like, you want me to do what? I'm right, she's wrong, and she knows it. He goes, I want you to apologize to your wife. I go, Lord, I hardly win any of these. You not give me this one. And then finally he says this, Matt, I want you to apologize to my daughter. And she was standing over the sink and she was crying, washing the dishes. I went behind her, I put my arms around her and I said, I'm sorry. And then she said, I'm sorry. And the presence of the Lord and His love just filled that kitchen. And then God later on, He showed me and He said this, you know, Matt, sometimes in life, being right doesn't make everything all right. Come on, somebody. Amen. And I had to learn that, and it was a great lesson. You know, before I got into full-time ministry, Uncle Dan Shima was mentoring me and discipling me. Some of you know who Dan Shima is. And I would meet with him every Thursday morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, okay, to do devotions together. And I would do devotions with him 5 o'clock in the morning, then go to work at 7. And I was working at the airport at that time. And then on Friday mornings, I would go to Pastor Wayne's leadership class at 5:30 and then go to work again. But Uncle Dan said, okay, Matt, I'm going to mentor you and disciple you. I said, pray, great. He goes, well, meet me at Ward Starbucks, Thursday morning, 5 a.m., okay? Now, I live in Kalihia, and I work at the airport. And he wants me to go to Ward. So I had to backtrack and then go all the way back in the traffic to get to work on time, okay? And now I'm like this, you know, geez, first of all, it's 5 o'clock in the morning, right? That's mean I got to wake up at 4. So, you know, to get some kind of decent sleep, you got to get in bed by 8. On Kauai, we can go to bed at 8, but I don't know over here in Honolulu, okay? So at my house, I'm like this, 8 o'clock, I'm like, turn off the lights and the TV. I got to wake up 4 o'clock, you know? Everybody's like, it's only 8 o'clock. But, you know, after about 6 months went on, Uncle Dan went like this, hey, Matt, we can move, you know, we can start meeting closer to where you are. I'm like, no, you like tell me. Then after about a year went by, I told Uncle Dan one time, hey, Uncle Dan, what, you were just testing me. And he goes, well, a little bit, to see your commitment. And I know that was the Lord too, because what it did is a test of faith and obedience, a personal journey for me. And it was one of the best things that ever happened to me, because I had to learn sacrifice, discipline, and character. And sometimes God would do that to us, and we're going, Lord, you want me to do what? You know, in our last scripture over here, in Luke chapter 5, this is Jesus now. He's talking again with Peter, Simon Peter, okay? And he tells him this. Now, this is daybreak. Let me set up the scenario for you. This is daybreak. It's in the morning or whatever it is. It's daytime. And then he says to Peter, now Peter and his crew, his gang, his boys, his posse, they've been fishing all night and they didn't catch anything, okay? Like sometimes when I go fishing, you open the cooler, puka, no more nothing, zero, bowl ahead, whitewash, we never catch nothing, okay? And then Jesus is telling Peter, go back out again and try one more time, all right? And that's what he's saying to him now. This is how Peter responds. He goes, in Luke 5, he says, Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I will let the nets down again. And this time their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. When Jesus first asked him, go and put your nets down again. Peter says, we fish all night, okay? Or Peter could have gone like this. Jesus, once again, you're the carpenter, I'm the fisherman. Do you know that the menpachi and the aveo-aveo are nocturnal? That the best time to catch them is at night. Those of you who know about fishing, the best time to lay net is at night because the fish cannot see the nets. That's why it's all banned nowadays. It's too easy, right? So the best time for commercial fishermen to fish is at night. But this is during the day now. It's like, you cannot lay a nest during the day. The fish can see all your nets. They're not going to swim inside. But Peter learned something. He goes, hey, Lord, if you say so, because boy, last time you told me, we'll put a pole inside the water. One fish came out, had money inside the mouth. So this time it was instant, his obedience. But what Jesus was teaching him was this. Don't quit. Don't give up. Persevere. Even when you come up empty sometimes, I'm asking you to do it just one more time for me. And that's what Peter did. You know, and I'll close with this. So it's been 7 years now since I've been on Kauai. And I got installed by Uncle Dan Shima and Uncle George Irinan on March 7th, 2004. Okay, March 7, 2004, I become part of a new congregation there. Easter Sunday, the first Easter that I'm going to spend with them and work together with them, is a month later in early April. Okay? Now, I feel strongly in my heart that the Lord says this, Matt, for Easter, go and rent the Kauai Convention Center. Okay? That's the largest auditorium venue in Kauai. It can hold 1,080 people. Now, we got 59,000 people on Kauai about. You can fit all of us in the stadium with a little bit left over. Okay? So you got my picture. Now, on top of that, when I came to the church, there was about 60 people in the congregation. Maybe 80 on a good day, if you count the cockroaches and the lizards. Women used to walk in our service pregnant. I say, count them as two. Ask them if they get twins. They can be three. So, you know, I went to the leadership and the council, and I says, I really sense that the Lord said to go and rent the Kauai Convention Center. And I've only been there a month now. And they look at me like, boy, this guy is semi-retarded. And they was only half right. And then I said, on top of that, I feel like we should do a free luau for 1,000 people and just bless the community. And they was like, you want us to do what? I said, yeah, for 1,000 people. And they're like, oh, this guy is retarded. And we're going to give an authentic luau now, Kauai style, kalua pig and, you know, chicken long rice, lomi salmon, the works, all the way smoked meat and OP. And they're looking at me like, oh my goodness, 60 people in the congregation. And I go, okay, if everybody brings one friend, that'll be 120. In a 1,000-seat auditorium, boy, that don't look too good. Yeah, you know, can you imagine you come out from the curtain and then you can hear the crickets? So I got this great idea. I said this, you know what? This is what we're going to do. We're going to tape up all the back sections with caution tape. And then we're going to only leave the front opera section, the concert section, has 200 seats in the front. And that's where we're going to let all the people sit. Because praise the Lord, you know, if everybody brings a friend, and we double in just that one day, right? So I remember that Easter Sunday, and I'm in the back. I'm nervous. It's my first Easter there with this particular group of leaders. And I'm behind the stage. We're getting ready. An usher runs in the back. And he goes, Pastor, what? You know, and I'm like, oh, what happened? We had an emergency. And he's carrying this big ball of tape. And I go, what? He goes, oh, Chai Luk. So I peek behind the curtain. And we almost had 800 people sitting in that auditorium. We ended up feeding 1,100 people a free luau. Now, when I say that, I don't say it out of false pride. I have nothing to do with it. I was only there 1 month. But when the Lord gave me an unusual request, I had a sense He was going to do an unusual miracle. You know, somebody here today, God might be saying to you, hey, just go and make right with that relative, neighbor, friend, because of that broken relationship. I don't care who's wrong or right, even if they're wrong, just go and make right. Just go and forgive somebody, even though it wasn't your fault. Maybe God is saying today, you know, you're going to have to stop taking shortcuts because you're cutting short your miracles. You're going to have to go through the full, complete process and complete the assignment that I have on your life so that you get a complete healing. This might be for somebody today. In a process, you know, unless an olive is crushed, the oil cannot flow. Unless a grape is stepped on, new wine cannot come forth. Sometimes, if you feel like your life is being crushed and your heart is being stepped on, maybe the Lord is allowing that because He wants to squeeze out the best in you and I. Others here, maybe you're on a personal journey like Peter. It's a test of faith and obedience. And the Lord has asked you to do something that is just mind-boggling. It's going to stretch you beyond what you can comprehend. And if you say yes to that, You're walking this personal journey. Others, God is saying this, don't give up. Don't quit. Keep on persevering. I know you've been trying. I know you've been coming up empty time and time again. But please, don't give up. It's a test of perseverance. And then if you get anything, get this today. Now knowing this, that when God gives us an unusual request, many times will culminate in an unusual miracle. So the next time God asks us something that is beyond our comprehension, we can't even understand it. Instead of responding, "You want me to do what?" It'll be, "You want me to do what? Yes, Lord. It's a privilege and an honor to serve you, my King." How many of you received that today? Thank you for allowing us to come and share our hearts. God bless you. We love you. Aloha. Pastor Rod.
Can we have the Kauai brothers, family, Ohana? Hey, how about if we would you be seated just for a little bit? I was telling the Kauai brothers, I was out kind of mingling under the tent, just kind of checking things out, and got a call from Pastor Justin. He's up there producing, and he's wrapping up. Wow, I told these guys, he can say plenty in one short time. Our other Portuguese, Chinese pastor, they go long, man. And you know what they said? Short message, short guy.
I can only give short messages.
Don't you appreciate our family in Hawaii? Yes. I know they represent the body of Christ there, the church there. Would you stretch your hands towards them as we pray and just ask the Lord? So it's a way for us to continue to support, to give, to uphold as brothers and sisters, because it's not about a New Hope here or about the church. It's about the kingdom of God being increased through the body of Christ. Father, thank you, Lord, for Pastor Matt. Thank you for his wife, Allison, for Daniel on his special day, his birthday today. Lord, we just bless them. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because you're the one that brings increase. You're the one that gives gifts. You're the one that has renewed and changed, transformed their hearts, Lord. And you've sent them. You've commissioned them. And Lord, here, the body of Christ representing all of our ohana, Lord, in New Hope Kauai, Lord. We just pray your blessing and favor. May the spirit of unity be amidst the churches in Kauai. May you continue to send your spirit through these, Lord, as they love, as they continue to plow and plant seeds. And we know that you're the God who brings the increase. Lord, so bless these, our brothers, our sisters, Lord, their family. Thank you for knitting us at the core of your heart and our hearts as well. Lord, we thank you so much for their ministry. Lord, not just in song, not just in message, but their ministry that transcends, Lord, because of the way they're living. Lord, we just pray your protection, your spiritual protection over their church. The enemy would love to divide that house. And we pray your protection upon them and their families, we pray. Yes. We know their struggles. We know there's hurts. We know they're dealing with various kinds of issues, Lord. Hallelujah. So we just ask your spirit's hand and anointing on them, Hallelujah. As well as for us here. Now would you place that hand on your heart as we continue to close on your heart over as a representation. Pray for them. And as every head's bowed, as we continue to pray, we as the body of Christ, let's ask God, is there something? Or you want me to do what? You want me to obey in what way? And as Pastor Matt shared, there may be some different things going on in the variety of lives represented here. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to each one, from the youngest to the oldest, everyone in between, every woman, every man, Lord, because you're calling us to obedience. You're calling us to obedience. as we're praying, I believe that there's some of you that should be going to life change. It starts tomorrow. You say, what? What do you mean? I got to change my schedule. This, that. You know what? This is one of our premier discipleship kinds of sessions and groups, and we want to help equip you. Maybe it's a women's retreat. Numerous ways to continue growing in Christ. As we're closing in prayer, maybe there's some of you here out under the tent. You haven't given your heart, your life to the Lord. This is the day of your transformation.
Hallelujah.
You want me to do what, God? I don't know how this Christianity thing, it's confusing. There's lots of questions. And the Lord would say to you, this is the day. You sense that calling, that drawing of the Spirit of God. If that's you, you want to receive the Lord into your life, in here, out under the Ohana tent, we just lift a hand. And you say, Rod, I want to receive the Lord. I want to pray. Go ahead, lift your hand to Him. Anyone here? Anyone else? Just lift your hand. Just boldly unto Him. We know the song Shiloh sang. It was a testimony of new life, of transformation. We all have the pull of the world and the flesh. We want to pray with you out under the tent. I know the Lord sees that heart connected to the hand that says, yes, now is the time. As the body of Christ, we're going to pray together with these who are saying yes to Him in their hearts. So I want you, those of you receiving the Lord, you pray this prayer. Repeat after me and add all of your heart to this. And after the service, you'll see some people with these yes packets. In there is a Bible, a booklet from Pastor Wayne that's free for you. Please pick one of those up as you continue on your journey, your new journey, as a Christ follower. As family of God, Christians, let's pray along. Would you repeat after me? And those of you receiving the Lord, pray this prayer. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus, your one and only Son, to live and to die on the cross for all of my sins, for my life. And dear Jesus, I give you my life. Problems and all, sins and all. Transform me. Forgive me. I give my life to you. I am a child of God. From this day forward, fill me with your presence, with your Holy Spirit. I don't understand all things, but I take this step towards you. And I say this so I can hear myself, so others can hear, so you can hear, so even the devil can hear, that I'm a child of God. I belong to Jesus. From this day forward, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And Father, thank you again for the wonderful, wonderful service that we had. Lord, we've not just come to church. We've not just come to New Hope. We've come to you. Thank you for changing, touching us, speaking to us. Now help us to live that life change out through our lives by your grace and strength. In the wonderful name of our Heavenly Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus, and the awesome counselor, the teacher, our coach, our guide, the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we say, amen. 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 Let's all stand. Thank you. Our New Hope Ohana.
Sing this with all our hearts. You are
the everlasting. We
God bless you. Have a great Sunday.